Chapter 27, Unfinished. Saturday after the hurricane, the Red Cross nurse waved to me, and I dashed over to meet her. "Your mother is coming along well, Jake, and Star is up and around a bit now. Does she recognize anyone? Does she play or speak?" "She seems to recognize your mom and dad. She's progressing, and in time she may speak again." In time she may speak again? I couldn't bear to think of my little sister not speaking or begging me to read to her. "What about Mara?" I asked. "Did you find her?" "I checked several places. She's not in Miami, Jake. I'm sorry." After the nurse left, I told Sharky, "Mara is not in Miami." Sharky put his hands on my shoulders, looked me in the eyes, and said, "Jake, Mara's gone. It's time for you to give up searching for your friend and move on. She'd be the first one to tell you that." "But her life was unfinished," I argued. "So were the lives of the others who died," Sharky said. "Unfinished." The mass cremation and a ceremony were to take place near Snake Creek around noon today. It was a few miles up the road to Snake Creek, and the only transportation I had was Jewel hitched up to Sharky's wagon. We were going to go, but at the last minute, Sharky's leg was bothering him, and he decided not to. I felt I should stay nearby in case he needed me. Instead, I went down to the shore where the church had been. From there, I could see Snake Creek to the north. There were many boats heading that way. The water was calm, and sounds traveled over the surface. I waited and watched silently. Soon, the sound of a bugle playing taps drifted toward me on the breeze. I could see a flash of fire, and I watched as a black spiral of smoke rose into the sky and hung there until it became part of the clouds. Rifle shots pierced the air, and I knew the ceremony was over. Mara was not in that cloud. But Mara should have someone remembering her. Why, even Rudy had had a little ceremony at his grave. All those people up there in that black cloud, they had had their memorial, and the world had gotten around that a beautiful monument would be erected in Isla Mirada in their honor. But what about Mara? She had come here with her big smile and her beautiful words and her kind heart. She had said that nothing was ever permanent, and she knew that being here was too good to be true. She whistled that lullaby tune all the time as if trying to hold on to her mother, wherever she was. Now Miss Edith was gone, and there was no family left to acknowledge that Mara had ever been on this earth. She wasn't among those that were in the cloud. Mara had simply been blown away. I needed to do something special for her, something that would say she'd been here and she was important to me. In my pocket, I had a pencil and a pad of paper that had been in a Red Cross package, so I sat on the stump of a tree and began to write a poem for her. I remembered how we joked about my use of the word eloquent. Mara would be happy to know that at least I was trying. I wrote my poem as I sat by the water, and the black cloud kept rising and melting into the sky. Unfinished would be the title. I didn't realize how long I stayed there, trying different words and then crossing them out. The sun moved from the ocean side over the island to the bay, and a wind blew up, capping the water with white foam. When I finished, I went to the water's edge. "Mara, I'm glad Isla Mirada became your home, even though it was only for a short time." I spoke softly in a croaky voice, and my eyes were wet. "My family became your family, Mara, and they'd be here with me if they could, so this is just a private ceremony, just between us. I learned a lot from you, about being kind and about lullaby memories. I'd never noticed how beautiful the sea was until you pointed it out to me. I know the sea will be beautiful again. So I wrote a poem for you. Believe me, it was really hard to write, and it's not great because I'm not a poet like you. But it's for you, Mara, and it's about you." And the words came right out of my heart. I cleared my throat and spoke the words of my poem. There was no ending to Mara's song, and the melody seemed to be all wrong. Her story finished without a plot, and all the dreams that she had sought floated away like blue balloons on half-remembered whistled tunes. "I will remember you forever," I told Mara. I ripped the paper into tiny pieces and flung them into the wind, where they skipped above the surface of the water, then scattered and blew away.